Hello, hello, Navad 17. Hello, hello. Kelly Effie is here. I can't pronounce anybody's name on YouTube. I don't know what that is. Some kind of a block there. And let's see if Rockfin is going to work today. Aha, it is. It's a miracle. Hello, hello. So I'm going to share the link to Rockfin for anybody who wants to jump over there. And coming on without much notice at all, I was going to go full spontaneous, but thought I would give you guys a few minutes to catch on. And yeah, so it's been a while since I've been in. Oh, error occurred on YouTube. Temporary something. Can you guys see me on YouTube at all? Let's see. Let's view on YouTube. And here it is. You can let me know if you can actually see me on YouTube or not.
On YouTube.
Looks good enough. Looks good enough. So, And I'm going to try one more time. Hello, Gordon. Nice to see you. This is the Rockfin link. Let's see what happens. I wasn't even trying to post. There it is. Yay. Okay. So if you prefer Rockfin, here's the link in the chat. And I don't think anybody's found me over there. Oh, a couple of people. Hello to Rockfin. Good to see you over there. Hello, Mick Boo. Yeah, Mick Bo. Mick Boo. Yes, I see you had an error code at first. Interesting. Okay. Good to know I'm here. There go the sirens. We're always getting the sirens more and more. They change the sound of the sirens. They're double. They're layered now. They have, what is it called? Sub bass or something like that. Oh, you love my thumbnail. Thank you. What did I choose? I can't remember. I totally can't remember. Juicesicker69, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Boy, the Bitches Brew has kind of gotten a little bit by the wayside. Everything has gone by the wayside these days, I tell you. It's full time in a life that's not public and that I can't mostly talk about yet. For it turns out another 6 weeks. I'm not just trying to bait you guys or, you know, promise you things. I literally just am learning as I go. And understanding. Hello, Brian Dolan. Nice to see you or meet you. Don't recognize your name, but oh, and the stream is ready to go live. Let's go live. And okay, Rockfin is always a little bit of a mystery, and you'd want Weather Watch over there. So yeah, you should be able to now. I don't know what the delay was about, but it worked. And there's no thumbnail. I'll have to put it up after. Big march on the weekend, Komen. Yeah, you were here in Winnipeg, I believe, and lots of love and kisses to you too, Jennifer. That's so good. So I'm picking up on a theme today about arguments and agreements. I guess the other way around, agreements and arguments. You could almost have said agreements versus arguments, but that sounds like an argument, doesn't it? Versus, right? And this was actually one of the revelations that I had when I began to look at a whole bunch of stuff. It's kind of melded together, but the concept of opposites, right? So if you say to, yeah, this was in the whole gender, masculine, feminine archetypes. So if you say to anyone, even the youngest child that of course has to have some knowledge of opposites first, ask them, what is the opposite of man? And they're going to tell you woman. What is the opposite of feminine? They're going to tell you masculine. And what I started to see is that we have this concept of opposition wired into us through language. I don't think it's anything else other than that, although there's lots of support for the more opposing way of being. They even labeled oppositional disorder, I believe in children, oppositional something disorder, that when they oppose, that is a disorder. Well, I would have been disordered up and down all the way here to the moon and back because my first word was no, and I was always into some kind of opposition. And I don't mind a good argument. I really don't. I'm not afraid of that. Some people are quite shy to get any kind of disagreement, get into that, and you know, come from a family that they just avoid all of the hard subjects. So there's no disagreement whatsoever. It's all, now there's, it's not that there's not disagreement. It's just that it's all under the surface, right? It's not there out in the open in conversation where it could actually be dealt with. There you go. Nivid, something like that. Oppositional defiant disorder. Yeah, exactly. Disorder. Give me a break. So especially in a culture where kids are crushed and, you know, severely opposed. And it's a fine line because as a parent, you can't just let a child do what they want. They will die really young that way. it's not like that. But if that child is tuning into things that are, you know, true to them, there has to be some kind of agreement that comes rather than just opposition head to head. It's, you know, this conversation is over and go for your punishment. Hello, Gordon Hamill on Rockfin. Nice to see you there. I'm glad you're over there. You're a little bit lonely if anybody wants to join you. And hello, Kimmy. Nice to see you. Kara, you're walking your dogs, listening to a good live stream. And notice my rant. Excellent. I'm glad to have you here. So good. Okay, I don't know which Kara you are, but you might be the Kara that I already know. Lunderground is here. Hey, nice to see you. It's been a while since I saw your name. Doesn't mean you haven't been here, just maybe missed your name. Duality rules everything, including politics. Exactly. Yeah, very interesting. So I had another revelation the other night, listening to a conversation on a chat on Telegram. I was chiming in just a little bit, but they were talking about one of the really basic misunderstandings of good and evil, which is super easy to do in a massive, you know, esoteric subject. Maybe someone would argue it's not actually in the realm of esoteric, but many people believe that you can't have good without evil. God created good and evil. This is how the story goes. This is not my story, but God created good and evil so that we would know the difference between good and evil. And it actually has logic to it, right? Because as soon as you come through something evil and you find the good in yourself, it is a massive contrast. There's like, you know, wow, literally the lights go on and you have clarity and it's a beautiful thing. But there is definitely a misunderstanding, I feel, and it's very, very deep running, not just through New Age communities, but also in a Christian community. And honestly, all of this law stuff has made me really seriously reaffirm my commitment to Christianity. Now, it's not a commitment to a religion or a commitment to a church. It's a commitment to what lives in my heart. And that I keep finding there, it is bona fide. It is the biggest asset that you can have in the lawful world. That if you're writing from any other place, you're trying to put their codes and statutes and regulations and orders in their face, there's a certain distance you can go with that. But that, you know, the highest place to come from is the jurisdiction of God, those highest courts that are there for us if we access them. And so, you know, I'm already going in circles here. So, you know, just talking about the opposition, it is a mental concept. The good versus evil is probably real, how I just said that. But saying that good can't exist without evil, God couldn't exist without Satan, that God created evil on purpose so you could be good, to test you, right? So this is another thing that the true meaning of test would be tempt to me. And that when you are tempted, you are faced with that stark choice, shall I do right or shall I do wrong? And we are given free will. Does God regret that? This is a question for me. I have yet to really get an answer. Did God regret that? Did God know what was going to happen? That would start to point more towards that God knew evil was going to come of it. But I don't think that's the case. Was there a hijacking? Was there something, you know, free will, the free will given, we didn't really know the outcome of that? That's hard to put that kind of nescience on God. I don't really think that would be God's thing. So we're still working all of this out. But good can definitely, good does exist on its own. And it's not that God is tempting you. That's the evil. Evil will tempt you to do wrongs, right? God is always going to be supporting you to do rights. And then if you pass those tests, they are Satan's tests. They are the tests what are you going to use your free will for? To help people, to move forward in life, to fulfill your sacred purpose, to do good in the world. That's what that's about for me. Or are you going to try to cut corners, you know, I've found a lot of corner cutting tendency in myself? Are you going to, lie to get through something so someone doesn't feel bad? So you don't have to say the truth. So you don't have to stand by the truth. So you can chameleon and be something to everybody, whatever they want you to be. There's a lot of that going on right now. How many people want to actually hold on to their friends, their family? It's understandable, right? Coming from the perspective of having lost all my friends and family because I decided to stand by the truth, do you think I have any regrets, right? You guys think I'm sitting here going, oh, that's too bad. I wish I hadn't have stood by the truth. No. You know, would I like to have a strong, powerful relationship with all of those friends and family that I had invested in deeply? Yes, of course. But that's what the Bible tells us, that we are going to be, families are going to be divided. It's right there in the scripture. And, it is a test of faith. This is not, I don't think what, this is somehow like meant to be, although it's in the scripture. You can tell I haven't figured everything out else, anything out, maybe everything out. But, at the end of the day, you just have to keep following the truth that's written on your heart. That is the thing that will never fail you. And so, when it comes to, if I get back on topic here about agreements and arguments, there are times to stand up strong for the truth, but it doesn't necessarily have to go to argument. And there can be a muscle or a reflex that is so seemingly hardwired for arguments that it's the first thing you do when you get out of the gate is you start arguing with people. And it, can take you a long time. It can consume all of your days and nights. And even when you reach agreement, you may not perceive it because you're operating from this much more oppositional place. So I've been in conversations with someone in the last days and I came to agreement and I saw their point, but 20 minutes later, half an hour later, and I'm still on that phone and they're still acting like I don't agree with them. It's like, no, I already said I agree with you, right? So it's something that can just really catch people up, especially in the law, because you're getting all of this onslaught, you're being attacked, and we want to create good arguments against the way that we're being treated. But what happens when you go into argument in law is you go out of honor. It puts you in their jurisdiction. It means that they can start treating you any way that their laws say because you've turned into a belligerent, right? You're proving that you are an imbecile. But the paradigm of searching for agreement, and this comes from Edward J. Robin that I've been interviewing. It doesn't matter who I host. It is not saying this man has all of the answers to everything or even any of the answers to everything. It was a lead. It was, he's very knowledgeable in the Bible. There are some directions that we're really looking into but can't find the validity of it. It doesn't mean we're throwing the baby in the bathwater out, but disclaimer, 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 or claim is a better way than disclaiming. But, just so you guys know where I'm at, just because Beth had them on and now we're going to go and put ourselves in their hands. You never can do that. You never want to do that. Because then you're going to lose your own ability, your own discrimination, and you probably won't end up in arguments at all. You're gonna be in agreement, but in a very unconscious agreement. The agreement is like, here, I'll just sign myself over to you, let you make choices and decisions, trust in your knowledge, trust in your wisdom, and not really take responsibility for myself. So having said all of that, searching for agreements is very powerful when you go into any situation. What are the points of agreement? What are the points that you can come together? Even if you have to back way up before the argument began or before you wanted to make an argument and just find a point of agreement, right? We both want freedom, right? We both want peace, right? So anyway, that was the inspiration for today's stream. I'm not sure that there's too much more to say, but it's a beautiful paradigm shift, right? Just looking for agreement, the active looking for agreement, especially if you're wired for argument. And so it's been a crazy time. I almost called this stream something about babysitting too. It's been a time we've had a lot of people come into our world and assist us. There were many people who were going to join in our movement and our action. And at the end of the day, we were down to a very small group of people compared to the number that I had, or we had, really not myself only, but that we had, you know, educated, brought on, oriented them, given them words, probably in a way did too much for them, did 99% of the work for them. And really all they had to do was come in and learn, take responsibility, and follow through. So at the end of the day, we kind of saw, wow, all of that time, all of that work, all of that investment in people. And for one reason or another, they couldn't do it. And then we had a whole other group of people that joined in an assisting capacity. And that to me was simple compared to the action, like really simple. You know, you got 5 dates, and you show up on a Zoom, and then you put your autograph on 4 pieces of paper, done. It sounds pretty simple, but because it's in the realm of this lawful action, then it's like it turned not everybody, but it turned a lot of them into children. And that's the child archetype that when you feel in over your head, when you're doing something new, you are in the child archetype. It's a brand new invitation to come forward, to step out of your comfort zone, to follow your calling to the next level. These folks, I have to assume they felt called to assist. And then they're like little, what do I do? And I don't have a red pen and I'm going to Staples now. And this is all of the kind of things that happened. And again, God bless. Maybe you're watching this. I love you and I thank you. And it's really great, but it is a sign. It is a sign where people are at. And, if there's ever a time to grow up and to assume responsibility. And I know what it's like, I've absolutely been there. If you caught me 20 years ago after I survived cancer and I'm just coming back into the world and I was like a baby. And every time I ran into somebody who knew more than I did, I just wanted to throw myself at their feet, hand over all my responsibility, get them to answer all my questions, do none of my own research. I wanted to do that. It's easy. You know, we just had someone come on the Law and Action group. And so they start out thinking that where are the lawyers who can help me on something that hasn't even happened yet? And so I had to explain, well, there's no lawyers around here. We don't want to deal with lawyers. When you joined her to a lawyer, you actually turn into an imbecile. That's what they're going to treat you like. You're going to become a dead fiction to them and they're not going to even see you. You know, so, and then I explain it and then it gets a little hostile. And then today a question came and I answered it right away. And then somebody else answered and he's like, oh, that's gibberish to me. I'm like, well, how, what, right? Who is that talking? Is that an adult, a self-responsible adult? Maybe if it didn't make sense, you could go and type it into your search engine and see if you can get any information about it. That would be one approach. But saying, oh, this is gibberish. He did say this is gibberish to me. So at least he owned that. But you know, like you can't just be, oh, I clicked on the link to join the Telegram group and now everybody's just going to handle it for me. My whole education in law is going to be done for me. And we're actually very fortunate to have people in that group that are willing to nurture and, coddle to some extent and put up with some very rude comments because people are frustrated and not understanding and to assist and to say the same thing over and over and over again. You know, for me, the patience wears a little bit thin. As soon as you're not kind, as soon as you're not you know, respectful. All of this is given for free, for fuck's sakes, right? This is all not only given for free, I'm paying to do it. And I'm not working in my business and I'm not streaming enough and I'm not ranting nearly enough. So, you know, there's something that happens. And I think agreement and growing up are related, right? If it's in your mind to search for agreements, even inside yourself, what is it going to require to come to an agreement? What do I need to know? What do I need to have, right? To follow through on an agreement and to keep my commitment, then what do I need around me? And to ask yourself and try to come up with answers. And maybe you don't come up with answers, or maybe you want to check your answers with somebody. That's totally fine. We learn from each other. We teach each other. That's nature's way. You get a group full of kids of different ages together. The older ones teach the younger ones. There's just a natural thing there. That's totally fine. But it's this handing over, like here's my thing and I'm going to need a walk through every tiny little step of the way. And so you won't get far with that. These times are calling us to enormous self-responsibility. You're going to have to handle much bigger situations than getting a red pen. Way bigger. Right? Like what are we headed for? God only knows. You know, I was watching Jeff Berwick's 666 video last night. I don't even know why I did that. I even labeled 666. He actually had a Bible verse in the email and that drew me in. So he was quoting Ephesians. We're not dealing with I believe it was Ephesians. So we're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities. And that is very, very famous quote that you might be aware of. And so it drew me in and there was actually some other Bible related, but it turned out to be much more 666, much more six. And that's the times we're at that they're very blended. And that's the thing about the good and evil where there can be that very foundational belief that good and evil come as a pair. And here was my revelation that I'm going to share about that. When you look in the Bible and God said at the beginning to Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And the other night it was a big boom, right? And this wasn't just in the past that mistake was made. That mistake is made every single day. When you make a place in your life for evil, when you say you need that in order to grow, you need that in order to be a good person, to choose good, you need evil. That is eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's my revelation. I've never heard anybody talk like that, but that was a major boom for me. I was so happy with myself when I figured that out, right? And so I'll keep you posted about all this. Now I want to come back to your comments. If you need help like that, life is duality. Well, see, that's I don't believe that. That's when you eat of the tree of good and evil, that's duality. But life is not duality. Life is pure. So sorry, Jonathan, just to jump on you. But that is very tricky. That is so common in our thinking, in our paradigms. We've been literally programmed with that. It's very hard to shake off. I know that's been part of what I'm up to this year of my life only, coming back to God in a powerful way. I didn't feel like I ever left God, but now that everything has unraveled, there's really nowhere else to go. Luckily, that's a good place to go. So I don't feel life is a duality, but if you eat of the tree of good and evil, then it is. And that's where we can be convinced about opposition, that you have two opposing forces and they work against each other. That is a paradigm. I don't think that's found in reality. Even when you put two poles of a magnet together and they push apart, what's really happening? All you're seeing is the space between two of these magnets, but you're not seeing the circle of energy that's happening, the whole thing, and how there's no positive. I'm going to make this other satanic argument here, but anyway, it's a movement. It's a movement of energy. But see, I was about to make that dualistic argument. I'm not. So, is the human experience capable of singularity in this dimension? Absolutely, 100%, 100%, Jonathan. Right. So that's why I make a full-time profession out of helping people deprogram. Because until you see through the program, until you actually see it for what it is, not just intellectually knowing that's a program, because I can sit in here tell you this all day long, but it's seeing through it, seeing the energy of it, seeing its true nature for what it is, nothing, right? That's what programming is, nothing. But until you actually see that for yourself and you decide, no, I'm the one here observing it. I am a child of God. I am a creation of God. I've been given this awareness, and here's how I'm going to use it. And when you get deep inside that awareness, all of the duality dissolves. It's not there. What could dissolve if it's there? Right? It's a true sign, and that's one of the brave ways that you can do your work, is to let go of everything. Even when you totally believe it and it's really true, it's the bravest thing ever. Because what do? You get attached to programming, both positive and negative programming. And then it's your world. You can't see it. And I have the fortune of seeing it all the time. I see it in myself. I see it in my clients over and over and over. As long as somebody is seeing through the opaqueness of a program, then it's as if it's true. It's as if it's real. But the punchline on the other side, when you look back and it's gone, is that it was never there. It's illusion, right? You keep pointing to the rope and calling it a snake. And then so it may as well be a snake by all signs from your nervous system and your hormones and the stress and the adrenaline or whatever it would be. That's the reality of it. Hello, Salt of the Earth, 1969. I was born in 1968. Kara, tempt versus test. Yes, very interesting subject. Controller systems love to test us. Curriculum ratings measure up. Yep, accountants, right? They're a bunch of... So much of accounting is satanic. I don't know if all of counting is satanic. It might be. I'm rejecting counting now, but counting might come in handy. There might be a place for it. Frustrating trickery to cause self-doubt to trigger programs, keep us away from honoring our divinity and purpose. Exactly, exactly. So it's a real prove it to yourself kind of a thing. If you don't prove it to yourself, it doesn't matter what I say. You know, you can go away with new ideas and chew on them and move. I always say it's like moving furniture around on the Titanic, just to think your way through all of this stuff. It's not going to actually serve you. You're not going to get to a new place. You're not going to be transformed by it. You might have a new idea, but you're not going to be growing. And that, because that's what growing is, when you literally let go of old paradigms that don't work anymore and you clear space for that. And Jonathan, that is where you find singularity. It's in that space. But it's really in everything. It's God's world. It's God's creation. There's no splits, but there are fractures of consciousness. How did the fractures of consciousness come about? How did that, maybe that basic split of good and evil, how did it come about? Is through trauma, right? If a snake approaches me in the garden, that's scary. Anyway, I'm just making this stuff up now. Thanks for the agreement there. It's fun, since we're looking for agreements here. And that's great. Hello, Mike New. Even when you spent half of your life with a thought process that worked, stand confident God intended you to reform this over and over until you find him fully confusing, bruises intact. Okay, I think I get that. But yep, it's not a one-time thing. Like, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and you're done. It's like, no, every day you're going to be asked to eat of that fruit. It seems like fruit. Why does it seem like fruit? Yeah, somebody came on my YouTube and slammed the heck out of David Weiss and said he's wrong about a whole bunch of stuff. And it's possible. I verify every single thing. When it comes to flat earth, I like it. It's in the Bible. It makes sense to me. Like literally, my senses are copacetic with a flat earth. Water finds its level and I'm kind of done. It's not my hill to die on. I got other hills to die on. But so they were slamming him. Being unaware of evil leaves one open for evil to work against oneself without knowing. Yes, the Bible says Edward J. Robin also quotes this, is be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. So know thy enemy. Does the Bible say that? Know thy enemy? For sure that is a maxim of something or other. Is that a Bible quote? I don't know. Somebody could look it up. Hello, Rob B. on Rockvin. Nice to see you. Gordon Hamill is over there now. That's awesome. And three is the number of creation. A man and woman are two opposite forces that work together to produce three, a child. Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying, but I would challenge that they are not opposite forces. They are complementary, like that. The masculine and the feminine are like this. You can't actually break them apart. There's no two. They don't work on their own, right? Those energies don't happen. And they're not like trying to work together, they are together. It's to me a matter of rather than you opposing one or the other or both that like brings them down, whether if you oppose the feminine, you brought the masculine down. If you oppose the masculine, you brought the feminine down. If you oppose both of them, right, there's all of that kind of gender mess out there, really opposing both. And then you go down. So any way you look at it, you go down and you lose energy to those opposites, to those sense of, and then you end up in arguments and waste your time all day. Like I've been wasting some time that way. No blur, plain as day. They are chemtrailing the crap out of us. Sometimes day and night. I see them at night now. Oh my gosh. An occult duality. Three is the force that carries between poles. I totally get that. Devil is the opposite of lived. Yeah. So that's getting back into the new age narrative of it, like evil and live, right? That's they're two sides of the same coin. I just will say no to that. And yes, address your weaknesses, know your weaknesses. Absolutely. And that's why we're in community, so that when you really know your weaknesses, you can be held accountable to it. And there may be others around you who are strong enough to help you compensate for those weaknesses. Let's see. I'm going to go back down. So you think you know who is slamming David Weiss? He subbed to all the channels you subscribe to. Slow Mo Moon Buggy. Yeah, it kind of felt like they were on a mission. And I was just a stop on the way. Like they probably searched every David Weiss video that exists. Hello, Lysander. Nice to see you. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. So some evidence in Genesis there about the oneness of the masculine and the feminine, not feminists. That's different. Love to evolve. That's what we're here to do. You know, if there was any answer that I got is like, you know, what is the ultimate purpose of life? It's to grow. And someone told me a story about, well, it's not really a story, but just a beautiful metaphor that, you know, when the grass is coming up and God's sitting there going like, grow, grow. Right? That's what we're, oh, grow. Okay. All right. Grow to your next level of awareness, your next level of knowledge, your next level of service, especially. And when you step forward into service, it actually sets all of the balls and motions into play that will be about your growth. As soon as you want to serve, everything that's not in service about you is going to come up. All the attachments, all the aversions, all the oppositions, you arguing with yourself unconsciously. And if you're really truly committed to being a servant, which is means being a leader, then you have to deal with all of your inner stuff. There's no way around it. If you don't deal with your inner stuff, you're not going to make a good leader. You're going to get stuck. You're going to spin your wheels. People are going to attack you. They may attack you anyway, but if you won't be on solid ground if you haven't dealt with your inner stuff. So to me, that's the ultimate purpose. The ultimate evolution is when you set your sights. You say, okay, well, I've come a certain way here and I've met a lot of my needs. I'm not in trouble. I'm not wanting for food or shelter. And now I can help others. And the sooner you set your sight to helping others, the sooner that you're going to go on the accelerated path. So Lundegrund, underneath the Bible is occult knowledge. It's all about spirit. You do not see a difference between spiritual or occult. So occult just means hidden. So underneath the Bible is hidden knowledge. I'll just phrase it like that. And it's all about a spirit you do not see, a difference between spiritual or occult idea. Look how important the cross symbol in Christianity. Okay, I don't totally understand. Elsie King has, yeah, I was actually wanting to get Lucas on a stream with Mr. Balderson and talk about electricity, electromagnetism and the Trinity. And I want to talk about it from the you know, how does that all translate? Because if that's observable in nature, then that's going to be observable at all levels of nature, not just the, you know, the workings of electromagnetism, but, you know, in here, in the psyche, it will all apply. It won't be any different. If it's truly a law of nature, God's law, then you're going to be able to find it everywhere. And chapter 8 is all full of maths about 1/3. Darn, I totally don't understand what that means, Lundegrund. But yeah, the cross symbol in Christianity also, just to point that out, could very well have been, now this is my take, that why was the cross chosen as the symbol? Because the cross is traumatic, right? When you think of, I have a hard time reading those parts of the Bible. They're gory, they're awful. You know, I have a hard time watching a movie with a lot of violence and gore and you know, like, I mean, it's all violence and gore, especially these days. So I don't want anything to do with movies or media or that kind of thing. And the Bible's full of blood and gore. And now it was, you know, not blood and gore that God created. That was coming from a different place. That was the Romans, right? That's they love their blood cults. They love their sacrifices. They love blood. And this is the thing that Jesus came to earth to tell us, that you don't need to sacrifice. And he gave his life so we would learn that. Right? He brought the law. Love thy creator, love thy neighbor. See, I got it now. two simple things. And that whole satanic death cult is the tree of good and evil together. That these come as a pair. It's not like that. I just think it's not like that. Hello, Jim Ward. Thanks for that love. And what exactly did he say about Weiss? There was a couple of, you'd have to go back, maybe just search my video. And honestly, I don't pay a whole lot of attention when people are attacking me or trying to take down a guest or whatever, if they're coming belligerent. And then they had to email me later. And just in case you actually want to know the truth like this, right? And it's okay. Well, I have no time for you. If you've entered into argument with me without even having ever met me or knowing me, and you're just going to come out of the gate fighting like that, I don't have any time for that. Life is precious. Time is precious. Especially now. Must read God Man, the Word Made Flesh. Yes. I keep hearing about that book. Can you, I guess I can just search it. I'm going to search it right now and see who the author is. God, man, the Word Made Flesh. So, yep. I've been having a lot of fun with this. It's, I feel like a baby again. I was a born again Christian as a child. I was raised in a you know, supposedly Christian family, but my dad was kicked out of the church. I write about this in my book. He was kicked out of the church because my mom wouldn't let him pay the dues anymore, right? They were struggling. They had two little kids. It was hard to pay those bills. And my mom said, don't you dare send that church any money. And then they kicked them out. They weren't welcome anymore. That beautiful church community just said goodbye. So, you know, my whole life, I didn't really grow up with Christianity. It was always something a little bit in the background. But by the time I'm, you know, 10, 11, 12, next thing you know, I'm just right into it. And I was really into it. Evangelical, right? We would go get tracts from the Christian Bible store and we'd put them all over the place and we'd minister to people and try to convert them. I remember converting my cousin because I scared her about hell and then she became a Christian. It's just like not really the right way to go either. So my, you know, my roots are there. My both great grandfathers were punished, were prisoned for preaching the gospel, right? This is something that it was very important. They were persecuted because they were Christians. Their families were murdered. Their villages were burned because they held on to their faith, right? And why is the Christian faith so dangerous? Because you can't ever have a ruler lord over you. You know God is the ruler, right? You know that in your heart. And so when somebody comes, that's why Christians are the badasses. When somebody comes and tells you, you have to, you go, okay, I'll just check with God on that, right? Not to be belligerent, not to be argumentative. It's just like, oh, well, I stand under God. I understand God. You make no sense. So I'm going to talk to God about this. See if I should muzzle myself. See if I should put poison injection in my body. Right? It's so clear. If you talk to God about that, God would go like, no, don't do that. Just don't do that. Hello, bacon eat more. You always make me think of eating bacon. And so you find chakras and yoga only complements principles of electromagnetism or the Bible. Yeah, I mean, I went to India 8 times, did a lot of yoga. I taught yoga. I still know Sanskrit verses. And I'm looking at it through a new lens. It's not necessarily baby in the bathwater either, because when my body is stiff, I'm going to do some of those yoga poses. I did them tonight, this morning. It is tonight. And they're useful. It's breathing, right? It's nothing other than breathing and movement and stretching. So there's nothing mystical, nothing to believe there. But you know, is the whole concept of good and evil built in there? Very likely, very likely. And that's where you can start to justify evil, right? So I had my guru on the mountain, and we'll see who comes out of the woodwork to criticize me about this. He was a pedophile, right? And what did he say about it after he was brought up on, not charges, but you know, people are like, hey, dude, what's up with this? And he said, it's for their evolution. It's going to cause them to grow in special ways, right? Like, what kind of crap is that? Justifying severe abuse of children, that it's for their growth. Well, to somebody who doesn't have foundations inside themselves and moral ground, they're going to go, oh, well, that kind of does make sense. It's going to give them an opportunity to grow. It was really meant to be. No, they were perpetrated. They were harmed, right? This is where we're getting to, where we talk ourselves out of our own basic sense that God has given us. You know right from wrong. It's right here, right? Don't let anybody talk you out of that stuff to justify the worst crime of hurting a child, right? We included a lot of those verses about hurting children. God has the most disdain for those that hurt children. There's no higher crime. So look how these snakes can talk. To justify. And yes, it makes sense. If you're only existing up here in your thoughts and you don't actually connect with everything that God has given you, especially your heart, then you got nothing. Then you are fodder. Hello, Hootube. You'll give him a growth. There you go. Exactly. Exactly. You know, forces exist within yourself, for you are a battery. Yeah, I don't know, Lundegram. We'll see. We'll see. It's possible. You could be right. I can't prove that. Kundalini yoga has left or right nostril breathing. Yeah, God gave us both of those. Slow-mo moon buggy, the millstone. Grist for the mill? Is that what you're talking about? I'm bad at expressions. I have no idea. Komen, let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom and let it flow. Eric Clapton. Interesting. Did Eric Clapton come forward and start talking about the truth? Was it Eric? I think it might have been Eric. It could have been staged as well. Mike New said, as a Bible-thumping child myself, I look back and realize I was pursuing a materialistic form of spirituality I could feel good about in the moment, not a deeper spiritual earned connection. Yeah, I hear you. And we take it at whatever level. Like I went to Gimli Bible Camp as a kid, and I memorized a crap load of Bible verses, like tons and tons and tons of them. But, you know, do I have any memorized at this point? Not really. I don't. I know a lot more. I'm reading at a much deeper level. When I see that, I think to myself, like, was I getting anything? Was I understanding anything? You know, and the Bible's messed with. I'm right now reading the 1611 King James, because that Bible is where the law shows up. It's the one that was literally taken and rewritten in some very important ways. One of the distinctions that I know of, or could be true, is that they replaced the word king and ruler with Lord, right? So that we end up, every time you're reading about like a satanic, ruthless, killer, violent, awful tyrant, you think it's God, right? So that's where the Old Testament goes a little bit weird and sideways. But, you know, I'm just studying. I'm just learning. I cannot say anything particularly authoritative about that. Eric Clapton and Van Morrison have been doing the counter corona, but you have your doubts. Good for you. Good for you to have your doubts, right? Those are plants. I don't think they would be allowed to actually speak out, but they're allowed to take, you know, funnel off some of the truthers so that they go off, right? You look for what is that sideways. Often the sideways is germ theory, keeping that intact. That's what I notice. And I had had an experience with being baptized by the Holy Spirit, Jim. No, I haven't been baptized actually, but I feel like not in a formal way, not in a church, not by a minister. But have I been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Yes. I can say that without a shadow of doubt. Absolutely. Yes. Happened again last night, right? So I'm dealing with my own doubts, my own limitations, my own, you know, praying to God. And I, you know, I put my hands up and I said, you know, something like, if the Holy Spirit is to fill me, then I'm open to be filled. And right, like it just rushed in. I felt every cell of my body vibrate with the Holy Spirit. This I don't think is hard. And you know, I caught myself like having just certain doubts and things I couldn't work out inside myself, and wanting to have strong conviction, and even feeling like, oh my God, am I going to have to start talking about this or something? Here I am talking about it, right? And then at that moment, I just really felt this invitation that all I have to do is invite the Holy Spirit and Jesus into my heart. That's all. It's a big deal, but it's so simple, right? Like wrestling with doubts and all that kind of stuff. That's like more like pushing around furniture on the Titanic. But just opening myself, and then it's simple, right? We're like children. We're children of God. And there's a lot of beautiful simplicity that can be there for us in that way. It's like the light. Was there an orb? No orbs that I know of. And it's kind of indescribable, other than it's very full, right? In contrast to emptiness. It's very purposeful. in contrast to purposeless. It's very meaningful in contrast to meaningless. Meaningless, meaninglessness. It brings joy. It brings happiness, right? Then I started singing and I wish I had recorded it, but it was just coming out of me. It was a very beautiful song, singing to God, having revelations as I'm singing, it coming through me, right? Psalm 98, I believe, that I was looking at, make joyful noise unto the Lord. And what's the best time to make joyful noise is when things aren't going well. That's the very best time. It's easy to sing praise when things are all in, stacked in your favor. But as soon as you've got some challenge or things aren't going your way, pretty easy to stop singing and praising. So that was a really good moment as well. And you don't want to invite anything inside of you. So I hear the wisdom in that. Yeah. I would just say don't, how I would have phrased, or how I give direction. You know, there was a time where I was instructing people to call on all kinds of stuff. Calling on archetypes, calling on gods and goddesses, calling on directions, calling on elements, you name it, calling it all in. And that's, you know, when you look at witchcraft and study that's how they do it. It's calling it all in. And then finally I learned about demons and starting to speak the truth. And I had a lot of demonic attacks and I realized, like, this is too much. What am I doing to create this? And I realized I needed to stop calling on anything except God. You can safely call on God. You're not even supposed to call on Jesus. You're supposed to call on God to bring Jesus. So to me, that is the one thing I will invite inside of myself. And then Salt of the Earth, 1969, you can do whatever you like with that as well. I just want to speak to that. And Clapton regrets getting the jabs. So yeah, we'll see. That was interesting. So that, I don't know, I sent that to my X and didn't make any difference. So Revelation 8:12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet and the third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. Yep, Revelations is scary. Daniel is scary. I was listening to Daniel. There's a lot of freaky stuff in there. And yeah, full of math. Interesting. You still have problems with asking another spirit into you. You have doubts about Christianity, eating, drinking another. And do you mean with communion, Stephanie? I think that's a blood ritual. I think that's more reminiscent of the sacrifice, the Old Testament, the satanic side, right? Even talking about the Holy Spirit possibly is a psyop. All I know is God. That's all I know, for sure. 100%. And, you know, when I pray in Jesus' name, it seems to be very beautiful. It's extremely effective when it comes to demons. I know what works for me. So I hear you, but when it comes to like the eating of Christ's body and drinking his blood and all that kind of, like, that doesn't sound right to me at all. I'm just going with what's inside me. And I seem to make it far that way. Hello, Astro Labium Bear. Nice to meet you. Haven't met you. I don't think we've met before. Thanks for that love and the show of strength as well. It came like a thief in the night for me. I yelled Yahweh, Yeshua, whatever through your name is. And I had the most intense soul-wrenching experience, like so biblical. Wow, amazing. You're not even supposed to pray to Jesus. I didn't really know that. Jesus says it. Don't pray to me. Does Jesus say, don't worship me? That's kind of like, what is that? I think a lot of people worship Jesus. So there's something there. I still have some questions about that. Definitely learning the obsession of following Jesus rather than a creator. That's a psyop. Boom. Mike, you got it, right? I think you got it personally. I mean, I know I'm probably going to get an argument from someone about this. Because if you have to go outside of something that you actually can prove inside yourself, and then yeah, so you know, all of these prayers to Jesus, I've heard this all of my life. And somebody recently on a call did a prayer to Jesus, and I'm all, ooh, ah, this is so beautiful. And then after, it's like, no, that's blasphemy, right? That's blasphemy. And I like I really like the history, right? That when Jesus came, he was fighting against the tyrannical rule of Caesar, the law of Caesar, again the blood sacrifice, the punishment, the law that was made for people who really had no sense of right and wrong whatsoever. And he was saying, no, there's a new law. You're not stuck there. I don't know this all very well yet, but I'm really liking that. And even just seeing the historical significance of somebody coming. And, when you sacrifice yourself, when you offer yourself, when you say, okay, this might harm me, this might cost me, even so much as my life. I've had those feelings at times, if I get out and actually speak and be seen and be heard, does that put me on the chopping block? It likely does, right? I'm flagged upside down in every way sideways. And, so am I going to have to pay a price for this? It's possible. But do I stay in alignment with myself and my creator? Yeah. And I don't, and that's the much bigger price to pay, that you get out of alignment. No regrets, only lessons. Rob said, no regrets, only lessons. Yep, that's a good way to go. Definitely. All religions have one thing in common, the golden rule. Is the golden rule love thyself and love thy neighbor? So ignorant sometimes. Great talk, Miss Beth Martins. Hello, Captain Rankin. Nice to see you. I'm glad you're here. I won't stay on too much longer. I've got somewhere to be actually fairly soon. I just realized, Beth, look into having Nathan Reynolds. Okay, Nathan Reynolds. I'm going to search him right now. Anything in particular about him that will help me search? I'm always open to suggestions, but if it's got a new age bent to it, or it's, because a lot of the law guys, they talk the Bible, but they'll say that it's only parables and symbols and astrotheology and all that kind of thing. And they deny the existence of Jesus in the flesh. And that's exactly what the problem was. If you're sending me suggestions, there's Nathan Reynolds on YouTube. I will definitely look at him up. Author, international speaker, farmer, consultant on everything from trauma to tomatoes. Oh, okay. So not law related. I'm like down a law rabbit hole all the time. Keep getting 503 errors on what I'm not sure. Standing up is the principle of balance. Balance is interesting. I have my take on that too. Do unto others is what you want to do unto them. So in a way that's, yeah, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Do unto your neighbor as you would do yourself. Yep, pretty good. But love your creator, right? Not just love your neighbor. But there's two basic rules: love your creator, love your neighbor, and what do you love more than creator? A lot. That's if you start asking yourself the question, what do you love more than creator? You're going to come up with like hundreds of answers. And the establishment New Age gurus are a joke. Yep, walking in honor. Aw, that's beautiful, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. To be even associated with that, do unto others. Yep. And they apply New Age moniker to occult researchers, then try ad smear. Yeah, exactly. All right, my dears. Well, I think that's it for my rant today. And I'm happy to talk to you. I'm going to make a habit of coming more often and getting a little bit more organized. If I'm running out of people that I want to interview, we're always looking for the next nugget or the next lead, the next, sign of where to go, how to get out of Babylon. So I'm a little bit obsessed with that, but definitely feel free to send things that are truly, there's actually, have you heard of Dr. It's not Dr. Pastor. Shit. Sorry. I don't remember anything. Anyway, somebody I've been listening to a lot lately. You think it's Apologia Studios. If you guys are familiar with this, I actually am quite loving this so far. Just put the Apologia Studios, young guy, young pastor, and absolutely massive audience and very pro-truth, of course, like Christian would be, real Christian. Jerry Marcinski, yes, I've had him on. And thank you for that, Slumbo Moon Buggy. I do have an interview here of him as well. I think there's even two, or one with George, somebody that was his patient. And yeah, so I think that's it. How he was a part of Reynolds' family. Incredible story of out of generational servitude. Nice, Astro. I'm definitely going to check it out. I've got it open here. All right. Well, I think that's all for today. I love you guys a lot. Feel free to visit my website if you haven't already, bethmartins.com, and check out any of the past interviews that I've done. You can do an archetype quiz. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be offering Primal Powers, of course. I'm just kind of debating right now about whether to do Primal Power Law or just Primal Power straight. It seems like a lot of people in the law world, you know, again, after we did so much work to bring people on board and then most of them backed out. Just wondering if they do the emotional, spiritual work first, if that will be of assistance to them. I don't want to hold anybody out of it, but that would be, if you're not familiar with Primal Power, you can see it at my website. The course is actually up there. You can get it as a standalone course. And it. I think I'm going to run a group pretty soon. Alrighty. So lots of love to you guys. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day and we shall see you soon. Thanks so much for joining me live. Bye for now.